Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8 for our jumping off point. Romans chapter 8. We'll look at verses 14 to 17. As we continue our series on soul check, are we delighting or doubting our salvation? Romans 8, 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now flip over to a parallel passage in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, 4 to 7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are the sons of God, hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son with your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, and then an heir of God through Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning, looking to your word, that we might hear from you, that you would speak to us through your word, that the Spirit of God would illuminate the word to us, that we might not just know it and understand it, but that we might apply it and live it, that we might be comforted by it, that our faith might be strengthened by it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, while we were singing, I thought I was the only one here, so I'm glad to see there are more people here, because we need a conveyor belt just to bring you up, all right? Just to bring you. All the people who sit in the front pew decided to leave at the same time, and it's kind of was lonely up there. So I'm glad you're here. Thank you to Michael for leading in Darren's absence. And so we are in this journey of the seeking and looking at the assurance of our salvation. And we looked that there are several indicators, primarily the driving forces, as we call them, are the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God, the promises of truth. And then there's an indicating force, which is the fruit of the Spirit and works of obedience, and we'll look at those a little bit later in our series. And then there's a supernatural force, which is the Holy Spirit. And we are going to look at him this morning. And so the question that we have for us is, what is the Holy Spirit's role in the assurance of our salvation? At times in our spiritual journey, we may know with all objective confidence the truths of the gospel, the promises of God, and we know that they're true, but we may not be fully sensible of them. We may not see and experience them like we would like. But sometimes the Holy Spirit parts the clouds and gives a vision of those promises and all the enormity that simply takes our breath away. So first of all, we want to notice that the Spirit's witness and our assurance. He does have a role. The witness of the Spirit is not to be the primary driving source and the confidence that you're a Christian. Because we go around and we say things like, I just don't feel saved. Well, what does that mean? I don't know, but I don't feel it. I want to feel something. What do you want to feel? I don't know. I just need to feel something. Well, then go ahead, stick your finger in a socket. You'll feel something. And whether that means you're saved or not, I don't know. So we base our feelings, and we live in a very feeling-oriented society, and we use the word feel when we really don't mean to use the word feel. And so, do you want shivers? You want cold sweat? What do you want to feel? I don't know. And you don't know when you say, I just don't feel it. But so that's not our primary driving source of our assurance, because feelings come and go. Sometimes I feel hungry, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't know, right? That's the commercial, right, for Almond Joy or Mounds. But we, our feelings change. How many are you going to go eat? I should not even have said that. Now it's in your mind. You're thinking about food. You're not going to be thinking about the sermon. And you're going to go out there and you're like, oh, I don't know. And you look at the menu, you're like, I don't know what I feel like eating today. I don't know. But you always have your standard, right? Because you can't figure out on the menu what you're going to get. No matter where you go, you're going to wind up getting this one item if you can't figure it out. Because that's what you feel. I don't know if I feel like that today. Feelings come and go. One preacher said he never felt saved until his first cup of coffee. Oh, those wee hours in the morning must have been really a struggle for him. Not sure he's saved or not, but now I have my cup of coffee, so I'm okay. Our assurance of our salvation needs to be based on objective truth. I had a teacher tell me one time that sometimes they didn't feel married, but it didn't change the fact that they were. Remember that. It's objective truth. You're married or you're not. You're saved or you're not. And the assurance can come from the Spirit of God. And he has a role in that. But his primary sources are the gospel and the promises of truth from the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit does have a role. Because the Holy Spirit had a role in your conversion. He convicted you of sin. He seals you unto the day of redemption. If you want your assurance to grow and you want your assurance to strengthen, the solution is to not sit quietly and hope the Spirit will do it. The solution is to give yourself to deepening your understanding and embrace the gospel of God and His promises. That itself will strengthen your faith. That itself will give you assurance. But it'll also give the Spirit the material that he needs and that he will use to settle and to assure your heart. Look, some of us want the Holy Spirit to do something he's ready to do, but there's no fuel there to do it. And it's just a grind. There's nothing there. And he can't bring something back to remembrance if there's nothing there to bring back. Turn with me to Romans 5:5. So we need to give the Spirit some fuel for him to use to ignite our hearts in assurance. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This verse is referring to personal, direct experience of the love of God given by the Spirit. But that Spirit-mediated experience of God's love doesn't just happen out of the blue. Let's look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 6, the word for, and you can write this in your margin, can be translated because. The idea of for has the idea of because. So we look at verse 5 again. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, because when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And so because, and it suggests that the Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts because these things are true. The Spirit's witness is not contentless. When he pours the love of God into our hearts, he actually takes the very truths of the gospel and makes them sensible to us. If you want a heightened experience of the Spirit's witness, you need to stack your heart with doctrinal fuel that the Holy Spirit will ignite. And when it comes to the witness of the Spirit, the fountainheads of our assurance are the gospel of Jesus Christ and the promises of God. Those are the very things the Spirit uses to pour out an experience of love of God into our hearts. He pours out the gospel. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Yes. Did he die for your sins? Yes. Did he rise again for your justification? Yes. Did God say, but God committed his love towards us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us? Yes. Did the word of God say, if you're in my Father's hand, I will not cast you out? Yes. Are these things true? Yes. And the Holy Spirit will bring that to you. And it's critical to keep in mind that the witness of the Spirit does not trump the other sources of assurance. It always comes in harmony with the other sources. It always comes in harmony with the gospel. It always comes in the harmony with the promises of God. It always comes in harmony with the fruits of obedience. So is the Spirit shedding abroad in your life the love of God? That's his role. That's what he's going to do. If you're basing your assurance of salvation based on what you do, that's not from the Spirit of God. You don't need to put your trust in Jesus, that's not from the Spirit of God. He is not going to go against the written word of God. He is not going to go against what he wrote. He inspired the word of God. He illuminates the word of God, and he's not going to go contrary to it. So the driving forces of our assurance are the gospel and are the promises of God's word. And the supernatural Holy Spirit uses those to bring us comfort, to bring us strength, to increase our faith. But how does he do that? It's a mystery. No, but there are a few things in the Bible that he tells us how he does that. So what are some ways that the Holy Spirit gives assurance? First of all, he opens our minds to understand the Bible in ways that gives us assurance. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Let's look at that verse. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The scripture says, the natural man, that's the unsaved man, the unregenerated man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. No one can rightly understand the scriptures unless the Spirit of God gives that person understanding. And the testimony of the Spirit with our spirit is his coming alongside us, giving new understanding of something, the scripture, so that we're more sure of our salvation. Have you ever been reading God's word? Or have you ever maybe been hearing it preached? And when you study, had a flash of insight? And did that insight draw out of your heart in love to God and cause you to thank him for saving you? Or did it open new vistas into the meaning and the application of the cross? That's the Holy Spirit testifying with your spirit. I was thinking as I was a student today in Sunday school and talking about mourning of sin and talking about how bad our sin is for Isaiah to say, woe is me, for I am undone. And I thought, how often do we just throw things around, words around, very easily? Oh, Jesus died for our sin. And we just say, oh, Jesus died for our sin, without really contemplating that statement, that our sin was so bad that God had to send his son to die for it. That should cause us to think deeper. If you think deeply about God, think, you know, God created everything out of nothing. He did it in 6 days. 6 24-hour literal days, and he didn't need all that time. As I illustrate, let there be light. I said that, I'm finite, I'm not God. How long did that take me? I'm sure it took God less time, and that was the first day. But the God who created everything out of nothing, as soon as sin was a problem, the only solution was nothing to create, but that he himself would die for man's sin. And to think deeply upon it. So when we read the scriptures and we get this insight, where did that come from? The Holy Spirit drawing that out. The Spirit is the clarifier of the meaning of God's message to God's children. When God's message seems eminently logical, where it had previously seemed confusing, the Holy Spirit is testifying with your spirit. When your objections and your rationalizations against assurance are dislodged by the Word of God, it's because the Spirit is testifying. That's why if someone comes to you and they're struggling with their assurance of salvation, don't give them your opinion, because it doesn't really matter. But give them the Word of God. Give them God's Word. And it should bring peace. And it should bring comfort. It's the supernatural part of it we don't understand. But then again, if we did fully understand it, then we would be God. And we're not God. We need to look for our assurance of our salvation in the book that tells us about salvation. The Bible talks about salvation. The Bible talks about assurance of salvation. For although the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, his testimony is heard primarily through the book that he inspired. As human beings, and Christians are kind of no different, we always want something new. We want something newfangled. We want something new. Just go back to what's already proven to be right. Just go back to the Bible. Oh, that doesn't really apply to me. Then you need to read it again. God only wrote one book, and it's a bestseller. And it's amazing how you find yourself in these pages. So the Holy Spirit opens our minds to understand the Bible in ways that gives us assurance. Second, he guides our thinking about biblical marks of salvation in our lives. He guides our thinking about the biblical marks of salvation in our lives. The Spirit bears witness. The Holy Spirit is the one who convinces us that we're Christians. But he often does so by guiding our rational and logical processes. Did you get that? He guides us not by feeling, but by logical and rational processes. By our thinking. Feelings always follow thinking. They really do. They never should be ahead of thinking. I just do what I feel. Usually, does that end up right? No. Not always our thinking ends up right either. One evidence of salvation is love for God that draws us to him and calls out to him. We saw it in Romans 8:15. We saw it in Galatians, 4:6, where we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now, granted, people have translated that as daddy. That's an oversimplification. It really is just a personal relationship with God. That we can call him that name. Not everyone can go around and call, if you're a dad, not everyone can call you dad. You might be like, who's calling me that? Have you ever had someone who like your father or your grandfather or something, and you call him Pop, and then somehow that catches on and everyone calls him Pop, and you're like, that kind of cheapens it. How dare you call my grandfather Pop? He's not your Pop, he's my Pop. You know, and it just kind of like erodes the personal relationship there. But that doesn't happen with God. He's our Father. Personal relationship. And everyone does get, who's related to him, gets to call him that. And the Spirit does that. And here's the point of why we get to call him Father. There's something that took place. It's called adoption. That we were adopted into the family. And if we get to call him Father, it's because we're in the family. And if we're in the family, we're heirs, not just, and we're joint heirs with Christ, we're in the family. When you truly think God is your Father and prove this by crying from your heart to him as Father, you are implying that you believe that you are his child. But there's another confirmation, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Turn there. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. As I think about this, it's about the will of God and doing the God and being obedient to God. And when I think about all the God that God wills, I don't always obey. Shocking, I know. And you don't always obey. But the general orientation of my life is decidedly towards obedience. I want to obey. I want to go in that direction rather than disobeying. And it's possible to deceive myself, especially when dealing with just one or two biblical evidences of faith. It's possible to deceive that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But the Spirit helps, or it's possible to say, oh, I'm such a wretched sinner, I always disobey. We can go to the extreme. And usually we can go to the extremes in 1 minute. But the Holy Spirit balances us out. It balances us out. And it reminds us that it's not about our doing that saves us. There is evidence of our doing of salvation, but the primary factor of our assurance of salvation is not what we do and not what we don't do, but who we believe. And the Holy Spirit gives us a healthy fear of being self-deceived and gives us a constant willingness to examine ourselves to ensure against it. So we're not always like, I didn't do that, so I must not be saved. I didn't do that, so I must not be saved. Oh, but I did do that. Oh, maybe I am saved. We can't live in this limbo. But the Spirit helps us to examine our desires. What do we want to do? Because even Paul says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. If the Apostle Paul's like that, he can be like that too, but he was sure of it. He says, I know whom I have, believe it. He didn't say, I'm sure of what I have done. I know whom I have, believe it. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. So the Spirit gives us understanding of the Scriptures. The Spirit guides our thinking about the biblical marks, guides them of how to evaluate them. But he also brings Scripture in its truth to our minds in various ways that assure us. Now, how does he do that? How does he testify with our spirits? One way he does this is by bringing familiar Bible verses into our minds for the purpose of strengthening our assurance. Have you ever been in the middle of something and a Bible verse has crossed your mind? Have you ever been somewhere and someone who has spoken biblical truth, either through a sermon or a podcast, or maybe even a song if it's biblical, and that has come across your mind? Oh, yeah. It's terrible when my preaching comes back to me. Oh, remember what you said? Oh. But these things happen, and it's the Holy Spirit who brings them back to remembrance and testifying with their spirit and helping us in our spirit to understand these things. When we hear verses from the Bible in our minds, there is potential dangers. We know from the temptation of Jesus, we have to be aware of this though, just because you hear a Bible verse doesn't mean it came from the Spirit of God, because we can understand with the temptation of Jesus, Satan knew the Bible and he quoted the Bible to Jesus. You're like, ah, pastor, now you've got me confused. I hear a Bible verse, now you're telling me it may not even be from the Holy Spirit. What am I to do? Do what Jesus did. Well, what did he do? He knew the Bible so well that he knew Satan was misquoting it. So you've got to know your Bible. He knew when it was out of context. He knew when it didn't apply. And if we know our Bible that well, we will know the truth of it. But here's the part. Here's one other thing he does, and this is completely mysterious. And I'm really not sure how to explain it, but I'm going to do my best. That he does cause an inner sense of assurance without words. He does cause an inner assurance without words. You just said don't be led by your feelings. I didn't say at all. I said put it in its proper place. There's sometimes we're going to have a feeling. We're going to have an assurance. It's the mystery of it all. If it was all logical, checking off boxes, and no mystery to it, it would be just like any other religion. But there is mystery involved. And he creates an inner sense of assurance without any awareness on our part of words from him. And we must be careful of two extremes here. First of all, we do not elevate our experience to the level of Scripture. We do not elevate our experience to the level of Scripture or over Scripture. You know, I don't care what the Bible says. I had this experience. Well, you might just been having hunger pains. You know, as the old joke goes with Baptist pastors, they had a craving for chicken in the middle of night and they thought they were called to ministry. That's not how my call happened, okay? But we don't want to elevate our experiences to the level of Scripture. God-given impressions of assurance are delightful blessings. They're desirable. But our assurance must primarily rest upon the character of God, the work of Jesus on the cross, and the truth of God's promises. Without consciously resting on the basis, an experience of assurance is worthless. And the other extreme is when we get so stiff and frigid, we say no experiences at all. I've said it before, I'll say it again, the Christian life is a life of tension and balance. It's like walking a tightrope. God wants us to be here. If we go too far over here, we're wrong. If we go too far over here, we're wrong. It's right down the middle. He does say it's a narrow path. Now, he does have some safety nets for when we fall off. But there is tension that's involved. So, you know, you don't want to be overly experienced, but you don't want to compensate with no experience at all. There is a healthy balance in there somewhere. But when we have those experiences, we must testify that the Word of God is right there with it. So we see that the Holy Spirit has a portion in our salvation. We see there's some things that he does to give us assurance. And the Holy Spirit is a multifaceted ministry to Christians. And he binds them to Christ, provides abounding comfort in all trials. He regenerates, he seals, he sanctifies, he guarantees, and he intercedes. He confirms every truth proclaimed in Scripture. The Spirit's witness to our sonship is an intimate and precious part of this work. And by certifying the Bible's promises of adoption and testifying along with our own spirits, the Holy Spirit strengthens our assurance of salvation. The Holy Spirit does communicate to us assurance of salvation. The matter might not be so much as how, but the fact that he does. Are you aware of that? Are you aware and experiencing the ongoing work of the Spirit? If you're not aware of the work of the Holy Spirit, if you're not experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit, then maybe you still need the first work of the Spirit. You need to be born again. Maybe you need to accept Christ as your Savior, repent of your sin, call upon Jesus to save you, and for the Holy Spirit to come and to indwell you. But if you say, that's my testimony, and if you think you received the assurance of the Holy Spirit, can you confirm it by the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. As an example, not perfect, because you're not perfect. But do you have a joy that's not based in circumstance, but based in the reality of Christ? Do you desire to be peaceable among all men? Do you have a love for the brethren that also has a love for enemies and love for those who are in the family of God and outside the family of God, a love for God? Some people think they're saved and they have no love for God. They have no love for God's people. They have no love for God's word. They have no love for God's work. They have no love for God's Son. And how in the world do they have assurance of salvation? It's a false assurance. But maybe you're saying, well, you know, I have this. I believe the Spirit is testifying that I am producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not perfect. My faith is weak. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It needs to be strengthened. And I do believe that the impressions of being a Christian are confirmed by the expressions of being a Christian. But I want more. How do I get more? Do I really need to go put my finger in a theological outlet and get buzzed? How do I get more? Well, how do you get more assurance? Do I pay for it? Like car insurance? I need more insurance. Give me more. No, you don't pay for it. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing really can earn assurance of salvation. What you do, if you're like, I just live in this limbo and I'm just not sure, and I think I'm doing everything you talked about in reading the scriptures and meditating on the gospel and looking for the marks of salvation in my life, and the Holy Spirit is kind of testifying, but I just want more. You pray for it. You pray for it. You persevere in obedience. And here's the hard part. If those two aren't hard, now after the next one I tell you, it's very easy. You patiently wait. You put those two words together, patient and wait? Yes. Patiently wait for God's timing. There are times in your Christian life and you're not going to experience it. You're not going to feel it. And the Puritans talk about this of old. And it's sadly, one of the interesting things is that this is the testimony of older saints versus newer saints. That you really are walking by faith. Jesus asked his disciples, I think it was right after at the end of the feeding of the 5,000. Great big miracle, you know, big feast. Baptists like that, right? Big feast. They had take-home baskets and everything. It was this big. And everybody's stomach was filled and they started to leave. And they were leaving, not just because their stomachs were filled, but they were starting to realize, he's not the Messiah that we want. We want a political Messiah. He's not really kind of doing, he's preaching this gospel stuff, and we kind of want to hear it, so they kind of turn around and go home. And so they're starting to leave. And now Jesus is like, I just fed these people, and now they're leaving me. So he turns to his apostles. He says, are you all going to leave me too? And Peter, the spokesman, who happened not to put his foot in the mouth this time, says, where are we going to go? You've got the words of life. And sometimes in our Christian experience, we may not feel the assurance. We may not sense assurance. But our attitude is, where are we going to go? He has the words of life. And so that means we need to go back to the Bible. We've got to go deeper. You're like, everything I used to do doesn't work anymore. Yes, that's right. All the exercises that you used to do at the gym don't work anymore either. What do you have to do? Add weight, add reps, change the machine that you're doing. Spiritually, exercise takes the same way. You've got to change it. You've got to go deeper. You've got to go longer. You maybe have to start memorizing it. You've never memorized it before. Maybe you need to start teaching it. You learn a lot when you teach. Maybe you need to share it and witness. And those things and those spiritual disciplines will help give you the assurance maybe that you're looking for as you're praying for it, as you're persevering in obedience, and as you're patiently waiting for God's timing. But the driving force is still and always the Word of God, the Gospel, and the Holy Spirit has a role, but He is usually applying the Word of God and the Gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, the mystery of the Holy Spirit, it is beyond our comprehension. But yet there are some objective truths that we know from the Scripture. We know that He convinces us of sin. We know that He seals us unto the day of redemption. We know that He testifies and witnesses to our spirits. And He certifies the Bible's promises of adoption. Lord, we pray for His assurance. We pray that You would help us to persevere in being obedient to the Word of God. And we patiently wait for God's timing. Lord, I don't know where each one in this room is with the assurance of their salvation. Maybe there's some in this room that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. They do not know for sure that their sins are being forgiven and they're on their way to heaven. But the day can be the day of salvation if they simply would admit that they're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and call upon them to save Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Lord, there are those who say, that is my testimony. I have called upon God to save me, but I'm weak in my assurance. Would You help them to focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ and meditate upon it? To be in the Word of God and learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God and praying for the Spirit of God to make it known to them? Or would you help us that we might be confident in our salvation? For when we're not confident, we convince no one of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Satan would love have us live in a sea of doubt than to be confident and being declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ.